Thank you for being with me again today. This morning we want to talk about the Beatitudes of the Kingdom. First of all, we understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and says that it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. He says in the very next verse, in verse 17, that it enables the man of God to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But some passages of Scripture I believe, are worthy of special note that reveal so much of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And that leads us toward the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So in this lesson, we want to examine the Beatitudes, and maybe in other lessons, some passages to think about. But we want to begin with the Beatitudes of the Kingdom that Jesus gave in His Sermon on the Mount. First of all, we notice the context of these Beatitudes. The setting of the sermon is that began with the preaching of John the Baptist in Matthew 3, began with the preaching of Jesus Christ Himself in Matthew 4, and their ministry had focused on the gospel of the kingdom. The theme of the Sermon on the Mount seems to be repeated in a phrase used throughout this sermon. The kingdom of heaven is sprinkled throughout this sermon in verse 3 and verse 10, verses 19 and 20 of chapter 5. In chapter 6, we find it in verse 10 and again in verse 33. And in chapter 7, we find it in verse 21. So the theme of this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave in the Gospels is the kingdom of heaven. The introduction to the sermon is Jesus using this, the Beatitudes, to begin his sermon. That's the first thing that he preaches about in this sermon in Matthew chapter 5. We see that in verses 1 through 12. The first and last Beatitude are both a reference to the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 5, verse 3, chapter 5, and verse 10. So we rightly call this passage the Beatitudes of the Kingdom. Now, the word beatitude, it means a state of supreme happiness. So Jesus describes the blessedness, the supreme happiness of those who would be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So let's dig a little bit deeper into it and discuss what the meanings of these beatitudes are. Well, the Beatitudes describe the character of the citizens that are in the kingdom of heaven. In verse 3 of chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus says they are poor in spirit. That means they are humble, as opposed to those who are proud in spirit. They are convicted of their own spiritual poverty and understand that they are in need of salvation. In verse 4 of Matthew 5, Jesus says that this characteristic of a citizen in the kingdom of heaven is one that mourns. They mourn because of their spiritual poverty, their sinfulness, just like David did after he was caught, if you will, or acknowledged his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. We read about his mourning in Psalm 51, verses 3 and 4. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, the next characteristic there is that Jesus says a characteristic of those in the kingdom is that they are meek, they're gentle, they're easy to be entreated, and through awareness of their own spiritual poverty. He goes on to say that they hunger and thirst for righteousness in verse 6. They're looking for that meets their spiritual poverty. Not a half-hearted search, but a longing, a persistent longing to be filled with the Word of God. Verse 7, Jesus said, they are merciful. They possess a forgiving spirit toward others, fully aware of their own need to be forgiven. In verse 8, Jesus says that they are pure in heart. They are possessing a singleness of heart, sincere, honest, and without hypocrisy. They are peacemakers, according to verse 9 of Matthew 5. They're working to be at peace with God and at peace with man, willing to follow in the steps of the Prince of Peace. And then Jesus says in verses 10 through 12 that they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They're willing to suffer for the kingdom of God and for Jesus' sake. Now, whether that involves reviling, slander, or all forms of persecution, such are the qualities of those who would experience the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. Now, these characteristics describe the blessedness of the citizens. We go back to verse 3, and Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The same as the kingdom of heaven that we read about in Matthew 4 and verse 17. In Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, the rule or reign of God is now manifested through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessedness involves having God's providential rule in our life. We see that when Jesus continues His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 33, where He speaks about anxiety. And He says in verse 33 that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 5 and verse 4 that they shall be comforted for the sorrow over their spiritual poverty and other needs. But now and in the future, we will be comforted. Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 through 5. John writes about it in Revelation 21 and verse 4. And in Matthew 5 and verse 5, Jesus says that they shall inherit the earth, part of the blessedness of this citizenship. In one sense, even now, as we mentioned Matthew 6 and verse 33, but also in Mark 10 verses 29 and 30. And in a future sense, with the new heavens and new earth, 2 Peter 3 and verse 13, and Revelation 21 and verses 1 through 3. But Jesus said part of the blessedness here is described of this citizenship, that they shall be filled in verse 6 of Matthew 5. With that righteousness that they are thirsting after, that's what they will be filled with. Paul wrote to the Philippians about this in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And it's made possible through our faith, that is the citizen's faith, and the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul would write about this in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, where he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who would believe, both Jew and Greek. They shall obtain mercy, according to verse 7, experiencing mercy through the blood, the shed blood of Christ, Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. But also, this mercy is escaping the wrath of God that is to come, Romans 5 and verse 9. He says in verse 8 of Matthew 5 that they shall see God presently through their Lord Jesus Christ, John 14 verses 6 and 7, and in the future face to face with God our Father, Revelation 21 and Revelation 22 verses 3 and 4. But he says in verse 9 that they shall be called the sons of God. Even now, to be a Christian is to be honored. It is an honor to be called His sons, 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. But to spend eternity in heaven and to be called the child of God, the son of God, is a great glory, a great honor as well. Much more so in the future, as we're talking about in Revelation 21, verses 5 through 7. But Jesus goes, we go back to Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12, and Jesus says that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. With a great reward in heaven, honored to join the company of prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the others in Faith's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. That is the blessedness of those who would become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So the Beatitudes, they describe both the character and the blessedness of the citizens of the kingdom. Now, before we close out this talk, this lesson, we're going to conclude our meditation on this passage and a thought or two regarding this. So let's make application of the Beatitudes to our lives today. First of all, the Beatitudes are not multiple choice, just like the Christian graces in 2 Peter 1. You don't get to choose which ones you want. It's not a buffet, if you will. It's take it or leave it. They are not multiple choice. The characteristics of those who would be blessed are interrelated. You have to have all of them. They are all closely connected one to the other. And only those who possess all the qualities that Jesus mentions in his Sermon on the Mount there with the Beatitudes, only those who possess all those qualities will become citizens of the kingdom. So what I understand from that is, it's not enough to be poor in spirit, but not hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's not enough to mourn, but not be pure in heart. It's not enough to be meek or humble, but not be peacemakers. To be persecuted, but not for righteousness' sake. So we cannot pick and choose those qualities that we want or we desire, leaving the others behind. So we need to focus our attention on these characteristics. The blessedness that Jesus talks about will follow just as he has promised. We need to try, we need to seek out to develop a true sense of spiritual poverty, sorrow for sin, a willingness to be entreated, a longing for righteousness, a merciful spirit toward others, a singleness of heart in serving God, a seeking the peace with God and man, and gladly being able to bear reproach and persecution for Christ and his kingdom. Prayer and the Word of God will greatly aid us in a development of this characteristic. Now, the Beatitudes of the Kingdom. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. It contains the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it introduces the greatest sermon that was ever preached. And in it, it describes the blessedness and character of those who would enter the kingdom of God. So the Beatitudes are definitely a worthy passage of Scripture, worthy of our careful meditation, and worthy of our careful application. Now, in light of what Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven, throughout his earthly ministry, we cannot afford to neglect the Beatitudes of the kingdom. So the question then needs to be asked, are you interested in becoming a citizen of that kingdom? It may be that you think that you're already a citizen of that kingdom, but you're not meeting the characteristics mentioned here. You don't meet the qualifications, if you will, of what the Bible gives as a requisite for becoming a citizen of the kingdom. In Acts 2, when Peter gave his sermon on the day of Pentecost, he condemned those people for having put to death the Son of God. And in verse 36, they were cut to the heart. They were pricked to the heart, those that heard that message. And they asked, what must we do to be saved? Peter's response in verse 38 is, repent and be baptized. Now there may be some in the sound of my voice that do not believe that or have not done that. If that is the case, then you are not part of the kingdom of God. You must repent and be baptized in order to be placed within that kingdom. Again, thank you for being with me today. If you have any questions about what's said here on this radio program, maybe you'd like to complain about it, feel free to look me up. You can look me up on Facebook, or you can leave a message on our website at churchateastside.com. Or if you feel bold enough, you can come by the building and worship with us, and I would be glad to sit down and discuss anything about the Word of God with you in that setting. Again, thank you for being with me today.